We have a clear sky. It's 47 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny today with a high of 85. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with the latest in area and state news. Red Oak Police report a man was arrested early this morning in the 300 block of Hilltop Avenue in Stanton on a charge of obstruction of emergency communications. 41-year-old Dwayne Allen Sunberg was taken into custody at around 12:45 a.m. and brought to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center, where his bond was set at $300. A 14-year-old male suffered from a possible broken shoulder and clavicle following a dirt bike accident Friday evening on Lansing Road between Wyota and Cumberland. The unidentified teen, who was wearing a helmet, was exiting his rural driveway to head west onto Lansing Road at around 4:50 p.m. when he struck his dog and was thrown off the motorcycle into a ditch. The teen was transported to the Cass County Hospital for treatment. Authorities said the dog suffered minor injuries during the incident. Officials of the Taylor County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that three Taylor County Secondary Road Department employees were injured late Thursday morning when a large tire exploded as they were making repairs. The incident happened at around 11:45 a.m. at the Taylor County Secondary Roads shop in Bedford. The injured were identified as Jim Rowe of Bedford, Jason McMillan of Bedford, and Randy Peterman of Gravity. All three men were transported to area hospitals for medical treatment. Audubon Police Chief Matt Starmer reports the arrest on Thursday of 25-year-old Cassandra Burcham Hoagland of Audubon. The woman was taken into custody on a charge of child endangerment stemming from an incident that took place Tuesday, separate from the previous charge of child endangerment filed on Monday. Burcham Hoagland turned herself in on the warrant and was held pending an appearance before the magistrate. Officials of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Department yesterday said 29-year-old Travis Jonathan Humbert of Underwood had been arrested Thursday afternoon for being an habitual offender. A Pott County Sheriff's deputy patrolling on Old Lincoln Highway observed a vehicle he knew was registered to Humbert traveling on the roadway. After the deputy turned around and called in the license plate, dispatch confirmed that Humbert was barred from driving. He was pulled over and taken into custody without incident and brought to the Pott County Jail. And two male students, aged 15 and 16, were arrested and then released on citations in a juvenile court following a fight Thursday evening near the Lewis Central School. One of the boys, aged 16, was taken to the hospital for treatment of possible broken bones and other injuries. Both youth faced charges of disorderly conduct and fighting for the incident, which took place earlier at the Iowa West Foundation Park, just south of the Lewis Central School. The names of the juveniles were not released. The Union County Sheriff's Office said yesterday a Lorimore resident had reported Thursday that someone had damaged her mailbox sometime overnight Wednesday into Thursday morning. The person or persons unknown also took a sign and a Forest Tree Farm sign. The loss was estimated at $100. Elsewhere in area news, the Griswold Community School District's Board of Education held a special meeting Thursday evening with regard to a special election for the issuance of $9.9 million in general obligation bonds to pay for the district facilities projects. Superintendent Dave Hendricks told KJAN News a petition was presented to the board during Thursday's meeting.
Aaron Hauser, one of the facility committee members, presented a petition to the board signed by 119 patrons that asked the school board to call a special election, and the board accepted those petitions and then later voted to call for a special bond referendum vote by a 6-0 vote, and that bond vote is scheduled for June 27th.
The polling sites will be open on that date from noon until 8 p.m. The polling sites include the Lewis Library as well as the Elliott and Griswold community buildings. Hendricks said if approved, the biggest majority of the $9.9 million will be used to construct a new elementary building in Griswold.
And then there is a smaller portion of that to do some remodel and upgrades at the middle school, high school building.
He said the facilities committee has done its job and will be disbanding.
There will be a new committee being called the FACT committee will form to help promote the vote. But again, the district has to kind of step back from that. According to rules, we can only send out factual information. We can't suggest to people they vote yes or expend any funds to promote that. So that'll be their role moving forward.
The district will help them when needed. Now, three additional public meetings will likely be held prior to the bond vote. The superintendents of the Griswold School Board expressed many different times during Thursday evening's meeting how much they appreciated the efforts of the facilities committee in getting them to this point in the process. And Hendricks, too, was very much appreciative.
They spent a lot of time that they dug really deeply into the material. And one board member said, the result of this, through all their hard work, was a lot more than they ever expected. So they were very appreciative of their efforts. So I like to say also for me, thanks to the facility committee for all their work.
The 14-member facilities committee had been working diligently since the spring of last year to explore the district's options in the light of declining enrollment and increased costs. The Cass County Board of Supervisors held their regular weekly meeting this past Wednesday morning. Auditor Dale Sunderman reports a certificate of appreciation was presented to retiring secondary roads employee Craig Meyer for his 23 years of dedicated service to Cass County. In other business, the board discussed whether or not a speed restriction or limit should be placed on a portion of a roadway known as Troy Road and Cass Street south of Griswold. The matter came up as the result of complaints from some residents and others with regard to dust being kicked up. Part of the roadway is inside the city limits, the others the county on the county side. County engineer Charles Bechtold has said that a new engineering study of the roadway is not needed. Sunderman said the Griswold city attorney has prepared an amendment to the city ordinance to set the speed limit on 35 on their part of the road. The county has been requested to adopt a similar speed restriction on its part of the roadway, and the supervisors agree to take that issue under advisement. In a final order of business Wednesday, the board approved the abatement of tax in accordance with Iowa code on four parcels now owned by the city of Messina. The move also absolves the city from any penalties and interest collectible. And a Western Iowa legislator has died. State Representative Greg Forrestal, a farmer from Macedonia, died earlier this week from cancer. Forrestal was first elected to the Iowa House in 2006. He represented House District 22, which includes parts of Pottawatomie County. The date for a special election has not yet been set. Forrestal's health had declined precipitously in the past several months, and he was unable to participate in many legislative activities. Fellow Republican Linda Upmeyer, Speaker of the House, said Forrestal was a dedicated public servant and an advocate for the arts and education. Forrestal's wife, Carol, is a retired music teacher. She served as his clerk in the House, and funeral arrangements were pending. Forrestal, who is 67, grew up on his family farm near Macedonia. He graduated from the University of Iowa in 1972 and then earned a Master of Arts degree in 1973 from the university. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Dean Alan Ozen, age 78, of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Memorial services for Dean Ozen will be today at 10 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Marnell Harris, age 85, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Marnell Harris will be today at 11 o'clock at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Pat Bailey, age 75, of Cumberland, died Thursday at the Old Mill Rehab in Omaha, Nebraska. A massive Christian burial service for Pat Bailey will be on Monday at 10:30 at St. Timothy's Catholic Church, Reno, south of Cumberland. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. William Beatty, age 90, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for William Beatty will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Mary Schwinderman, age 92, of Omaha and formerly of Harlan, died Wednesday. A mass of Christian burial for Mary Schwinderman will be Monday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. Richard A. Anderson, age 88, of Exira and formerly of Brayton, died Thursday at the Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Richard A. Anderson will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Cemetery west of Exira. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Larry Madden, age 82, of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Graveside services for Larry Madden will be Monday at 3 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Richard Anderson, age 75, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday at the Adair County Hospital in Greenfield. A massive Christian burial for Richard Anderson will be held on 1:30 p.m. Tuesday at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. And Evelyn Duskin, age 95, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Services for Evelyn Duskin are currently pending. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.